This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens, and painting. Throw it in the water, they swear the sky's daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
Was doing exactly what she was asking for in the best way it could, ironically. So we sorted that out, and I don't think she's having that problem anymore last time I heard. But that's kind of an example going back to Bastion in the Neverending Story, okay? Because I kind of left that off where every time he makes a wish and changes reality in a way that doesn't suit his actual true higher self's will, he forgets a piece of who he is. He loses part of his memory. To the point where, like, as the story progresses, he's sort of become somebody else. He doesn't remember our world, where he came from, and he loses touch with his true self. And what is trying to be illustrated here is you get what you wish for in life, but be careful what you wish for, because the more that you wish for things that are not really what you want, the further away you distance yourself from who you really are.
You just heard today's guest, host of the Innerverse podcast, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with my friend, Chance Garten. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are for another fun, jam-packed episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast with a returning guest, a returning friend who's joining me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast for, I think, a long overdue appearance. Chance and I have known each other for at least since my podcast got off the ground in a major way. And I know Chance has been dedicated to his podcast, Innerverse, and all the other iterations of cool podcasts he has formed around that show, Innerverse, including his members only area, which I believe is still on Patreon. So without further ado, my man, Chance Garten, welcome back to the show. People know you as the host of the Innerverse podcast, but lately you've stepped into the practitioner role, and I'd love to get into that. I know the last time you're on the show, we did talk about it, but you've obviously gained a lot of experience and wisdom from your practice up until today as we're recording it on 11/11/2025. Thank you again for joining me, and welcome back.
Hey, man, it's good to see you. I think the last time we were going to do one of these, I like bailed on you three times in a row or something. So I'm sorry about that. I'm really
liable to bail too. So we could chalk those both up to both of our faults, but that's okay.
Well, you know, it's been quite a year for me becoming a dad. That's a huge part of my life now. But you mentioned the practitioner role, which is really gotten quite exciting. For the last 5 years, I've been tuning people with tuning forks, you know, and it sounds very woo, but I know this is My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. You guys talk about way more out there stuff than whatever I can bring up. My stuff is actually pretty well grounded and testable and repeatable, even though it sounds crazy. So let me, you know, just for the people that are new to it and to refresh your mind on it, I'm going to do my best to give a concise description of what biofield tuning is. And I always tend to start interviews that I'm the guest with that, and then we flow into so many other topics. But before we start, my website, interversepodcast.com, is where you can find links to everything that I do. I do have several shows. The main show, have a nice archive of my old live stream that I put on pause since I became a dad. 150 episodes of that, all of them good, called Vibrant. I've got Inner World, which is my podcast with Dylan Sicoccio. Super deep dives with my man Dylan, probably the best researcher on fake history and comparative mythology and religion and philology and language. And we put together episodes of that where both of us do a week or more of research on the same topic, bring our notes together, have slides and everything. And it's very worth the admission price. There are some free previews for every episode there, but topics include everything from, you know, the syncretism of the Noah story and what it means for the monomyth, to the one that we're putting out pretty soon about Moses and his secret identity as a Greek fable. And that, you know, it's a little incendiary maybe sometimes, just because people are so attached to the historicism of their religious mythology. But I think it's the best show out there for learning the tools and the keys you need to be able to decode religion and language and mythology for yourself and get to the, you know, the connecting threads between all of those things. It's a really fun, really fun show. And lately I've been doing a podcast, very new thing for me, where I solo cast just for members. And that one's called Inner Circle. And I talk about all the stuff that doesn't really make it into interview style shows with my audience, answer some of their questions, respond to their comments directly, share things I'm learning from my tuning practice, you know, things of the week. And that's been a really nice outlet for me to connect more with my audience, to make more content for them, just for them, during a time where my other shows are not coming out as often because my process has changed a lot. This year's felt sort of like starting over at the beginning in a way, even though I've been podcasting for like 10 years. Everything about my process has kind of just started over and taken a new turn towards like a higher quality and more creative input into the process, you know, because the tools out there for making your own music and visuals and things like that have just gotten really outrageous. So yes. I've got all those shows going, and all of it is pretty much timeless. I don't talk about current events almost ever. So even if you're going back years into the archive, you're going to find things that could potentially resonate on all kinds of subjects, from holistic health, you know, energetics, metaphysics, religion, mythology, language, fake history. I want to say fake history, like, you know, esoteric history, you could say. So those are just, you know, some of the things that you might find. It's all over the place. The algorithm doesn't know what to do with me. Makes it a little hard to grow the audience. So I hope that some of your people go over and do some diving through the many, many things in the archive there.
Yeah. Anyone who's drawn to this show for whatever reason is bound to connect with Innerverse as well, because our shows tread that same sort of metaphysical variety, kind of, you know, all of these interesting folks. Although I will occasionally get into contemporary things and current events, I will back up what you're saying. It's Innerverse is timeless, and I often find myself going back to some of your older episodes to just kind of figure out, like, oh, maybe this person I've never heard of would be a good guest. Are they still around? Are they still doing podcasts? Chance interview them. Maybe I can interview them, right? So yeah, bound to connect with this audience. But as far as your latest...
Your guest list is on my, you know, I have my eyes on your guest list too, buddy.
Yeah, oh, trust me. It's all, listen, there's no competition. It's an ecosystem where we all, you know, help these interesting guests reach the audiences that we've cultivated through our hard work. So yeah, it's all, you know, rising tide raises all ships has been my mentality for a while now. And I try to relay that to younger podcasters or newer podcasters, because I think it, that sense helped my podcast grow. But anyway, so with what you're doing directly working with clients, this is something that is kind of an outgrowth of your podcast, right? You became interested in the biofield tuning and biofeedback and all the different ways we can interact with these subtle energies through your podcasts, and basically made it into a career for yourself, right?
Yeah, it's something I've always had an affinity for since kind of waking up to subtle energy myself. I still remember I picked up in my early 20s, I picked up a big selenite crystal and held it next to my head, and I felt this vibration come out into my head, and I was like, what the heck? And that was it. From that point, I was like hooked on trying to figure out what was going on with like the invisible energy that connects all things. And it's been a journey since then, starting with stuff like, you could call it Reiki. I never was attuned or followed any traditional process, but that's never been my style. And I was an explorer with Interverse of all kinds of, I want to say alternative methods, but you know, it's the mainstream that's alternative in my opinion, because that word alter native, it's altered from what is native and natural to humanity, which would be like plants and herbs and mind body medicine, spirit medicine. I really don't see a difference between the two. So I was always exploring these things and looking for, I didn't know it at the time, but I was looking for how I could be of service with the gifts that I knew I had. But it wasn't until I came across Eileen McCusick's work, who invented biofield tuning as a modality, or discovered it, you could say, through her own trial and error, that I felt like something really clicked with her and started looking into her work, started putting some of the things in her books into practice in my own life, went through some majorly transformative healing and growth experiences from following her lead, you could say, and then, you know, became friends with her as she came on my show many times. And so she's kind of like an unofficial guru for me. I recommend checking out her work. She's the real master teacher of it all. But what biofield tuning is, I think what made it click so much for me, is it's really a method of translating the message that your body is trying to give you. So when we consider what's going on with our health, where we're having some kind of struggle or challenge, the mainstream model is to treat your body like it's a broken down vehicle. It needs some parts swapped out or repaired. You know, something has gone wrong. The body's gone rogue, or, you know, it's messed up in some way. But the truth is, none of the symptoms that we experience, and even injuries, fall under the how I'm describing this. None of these things are actually something happening that's wrong. They're all trying to point us to a deeper underlying pattern that starts in the mind or the spirit, you know, or our belief system, kind of all the same thing in a way, so that we can change something about ourselves that is not working, that is stuck within us, that's causing us to be unable to progress forward in the ways in which our soul wants us to move forward in life. So this is, you know, the bigger picture of what tuning is. In the more mechanical sense of how it works, we all have an energy body or an energy field. This isn't even something disputed by the modern science. It's measurable. There's an electromagnetic field around all organisms, right? It's something that has been demonstrated even in a laboratory. They're calling that the biofield, even in the science trademark. So we're really bridging the world of spirit and science when we practice this modality, because it is repeatable and testable. And just like biology has mapped out the anatomy of a physical organism, everyone's got a heart in about the same place, lungs in the same place, kidneys, etc. The energy body of an organism, or at least human beings we know about, actually have an anatomy where there's similar energy, or we could even say like similar types of information in different parts of the energy field for everybody. So we're talking about the coordinates of up, down, left, right, forward, back, right? The sphere of energy around your body. If I were to look at one person and another person and they both had an energetic disturbance in the same area, same distance from the body in the same direction, we would be able to determine that that energetic disturbance was related to something similar between the two. So that's the anatomy of the biofield. The amazing thing about your energy field beyond that is the chronological element that this energy body works like the rings of a tree. the distance away from your body energy is tells you the age that the energy got stuck in that spot. So when we're talking about how health and the energy field work together, it's flow issues, right? Whenever there's stuck energy in this field, it's not flowing, it's compartmentalized. You could call it a form of denial, something that's not accepted into the rest of the body, integrating and flowing through it. The distance away from that body, that stuck energy is, you can measure it out, right? Like you have a 6-foot energy field, you're say 30 years old, and we find stuck energy that's halfway away from your body, 3 feet away, then that's going to be a correspondent when you're about the age of 15. So we have these, you know, then this goes out, right? You go further than that. I'm 36, so it's actually really convenient for me to get tuned myself at this age, because every 1 foot away from my body is 6 years, because it's 6 feet divided by six, very simple. So at the edge of the field, like the beginning of your field, 6 feet away from you, that's the point where you were in the womb or when you were born or when you're an infant. And it just kind of expands out like that. Just like you could tell how old a tree was when there was a fire, if you were looking at the stump and you could see the ring where there was a burn and you count the rings back. So it's very interesting that we have the ability to pinpoint through these spatial coordinates around the body when and what there is that's going on that there's a disturbance about. And whenever these disturbances energetically are severe enough, they can manifest as physical symptoms. But other times, there may just be like a subtle reduction in personal vitality or restriction in flow state, things that are occasionally, not just occasionally, very often manifest not as physical problems in the body so much as repetitive external problems in the world, you know, running into the same kind of situations with people that are blocking your path, so to speak, over and over again, maybe not even noticing what is going on there. So a practitioner like myself, and I think anyone could learn this, I believe I have an aptitude for it just because I really cared about it and connected with it, but I think anybody can learn this. A practitioner like myself can help somebody discover what kind of patterns are recurring in their life that are related to patterns going on in their body and in their health that they may not even been able to put two and two together to see that this was a recurring thing yet. And that's part of, I think, what I bring to the table, maybe that's a little special that relates to the other types of work research that I do, is that pattern recognition is something I'm really good at. And a tuner, or even someone that wants to just help with vibrational medicine, right? Bringing coherent sound energy into their field or into the field of someone they care about to help them. You don't have to be able to put complicated psychological puzzle pieces together to help them break some sort of big picture problems that are related to mental configurations, right? Just the coherent energy of sound and vibration is something that the body can use to help itself and attune itself. So, you know, I've had a recent experience that I'll just give as an example of how effective tuning can be, even for someone that has no knowledge, belief, or faith in the system. This happened at the end of August. This was so cool. It kind of blew my mind. It gave me a whole new boost of like enthusiasm and confidence for the method, actually. I had a family member that was visiting from out of town, somebody I didn't know very well, but you know, the type of family member that you see every couple of years for a couple hours at family reunions, right? Nothing too major. Don't know anything really about his life other than, as long as I'd known him, he'd had crippling and debilitating back pain to the point where he's on disability, can't work. You know, it's like every day of his life is a pain and struggle and challenge because of this back injury or whatever that the doctors couldn't fix, you know, surgeries, medications, et cetera, et cetera. Thankfully, he, even though was prescribed the opioids for it, he managed to get himself back off of those, realizing that they were killing him, not helping him, of course. So good on him. But this is a hospital attending doctor believer, as I like to call them. I love them, but you know, it is what it is, right? He was in town and visiting my parents' house, and I hadn't seen him for years, and I came over and brought this big old fork with me, my super Thor fork here. And, you know, we visited for a while. Just being in the same room with him was actually causing my baby daughter agitation because of how like stressed out and in pain he was. So for the most of the visit, he was outside on the porch with my dad, and I was inside the house with my daughter. We couldn't really like share space because of how agitated she was getting around him. She's very psychically sensitive, of course. And as it was about time to leave, I just come up to him and I'm like, hey, do you mind if I just try out, you know, my tuning fork with you, see if I can help, you know, anything, like even if it helped a little, right? Wouldn't that be worth it? And he's like, yeah, I guess. Cause he knew this was something I did. He didn't really know what it was. Right. But I think my parents mentioned it to him that I did some kind of, you know, healing magic thing with tuning forks. So I just stood him there in the living room and I said, just stand here and, you know, just breathe and relax. I hit the fork and I start looking for where's the pain coming from. And I get the signal through the fork and through cues that I personally get in my body when I'm doing this. I was able to pinpoint exactly where this pain was centered on. And I ask him, I'm like, does the pain begin in the middle of your back? To me, that, you know, is describing the solar plexus level on the right side. And he goes, that's exactly where the pain comes from. And it radiates down all the way into my legs. And it's like this burning pain. And it's like a tight burning pain. And I'm like, okay, so that's where it's starting from. And then I hit the fork again. I go to, you know, 6 feet away, the edge of his field, start sweeping the fork towards his body, looking for the point on his timeline where all this started. And it was about 3 feet and an inch or two away from his body is where I found like the energetic snag. And it was a big one. I hold the fork there for 30 seconds or so. And then I ask him, and I did the math, right? My lucky for me, my wingspan of my arms is about 6 feet. So I can kind of do the math on the fly. You know, I ask him how old he is. He says, I'm 55, I think is what he was. I don't remember exactly, but I know that I know that the point I identified from how old he said he was at the age of 26. So I bring it up, I say, and based on where this is at, back, right, solar plexus level, I say, tell me what comes to mind, first thing that pops into your head about being 26 and feeling unsupported by your father, or maybe going through some kind of like estrangement or, you know, crisis related to your dad and betrayal or loss of support or loss of love, something like that. And he goes, what doesn't come to mind about that? And I'm like, okay, tell me more. And then my dad, who was in the room watching, he's like, did I tell you about this? And I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm asking him. I don't even know his father's name. I've never met his father, distant relative. And anyway, what comes out is that at exactly that age, he'd gone through exactly what I described, a betrayal experience with his father leading to estrangement and never talking again. I think there was like theft involved. And anyway, it was like very severe, unusually bad problem with his dad that was exactly then. And I said to him, your back pain is originating from unresolved emotional pain related to this loss of support from your father, feeling, you know, unsupported by your father. And he looks at me and he's like, that is about, you know, it wasn't long after that time that I started having these back problems. And I go, yeah, I'm not surprised about that. And then he says, it doesn't hurt anymore. The pain, it was burning so bad. I was going to go to bed and it's not even 7 yet. I felt like I couldn't do anything else tonight. So I was just going to go to bed, but it doesn't hurt anymore. The burning is gone. And I'm like, cool. That's really good. That's what's supposed to happen. And the whole process took 5 minutes, you know, it was like over and done with in 5 minutes. And I went home. And for the next couple of weeks, I was getting updates from my dad, who was getting texted by him. He's like, yeah, Mark's, his name was also Mark, actually. His name's Jason. I was thinking of my dad's other friend, Mark, who also had the same problem, but then died of opiates. Jason was the family member's name. And he was like texting my dad repeatedly. It doesn't hurt anymore. My back pain's better. And that was kind of a miraculous example of what's possible with tuning, where we bring attention to what the body is trying to signal to, like, hey, you need to face the fact that this was emotionally painful for you and process the emotional pain of that. You needed to connect the dots that this experience was really hurtful for you and you never really processed it. And once we opened up, you know, I haven't really spoken to him to find out if he did kind of start thinking about and processing the experience with his father and the things that came after. But I'm sure that he must have, because he continued to not have that pain anymore. So, you know, we opened up the door to the thing that was blocked, and immediately that pain that was caused from that pressure of this intense emotional energy being held back and not observed and not allowed, it changed the entire situation in his physical body. So, you know, tuning can be something that provides miraculous changes for somebody, or it can be something that gives you a subtle shift in your energy that gives you, you know, say 5% more energy available to you in a day. But that's cumulative, right? So over the course of time, even a 5% increase in personal vitality, you chart that across 3-6 months, and it becomes quite significant. So it's like, you know, the range of what's possible, subtle boost to absolute miracle, and anywhere in between. And it just depends on the person and where they're at, and what they're ready for and what's needed for them. But I have seen, you know, I've seen things like this story many times, but in particular, it was impactful for me because it was somebody that was not a believer in the method, didn't know anything about it. And the whole thing was so quick, and it was a personal family member. So all of that was like a pretty awesome experience for me. And I love that story because it's just the perfect one shot, you know, quick example of what tuning can do and how it works. So yeah, I was really stoked on that one.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And if that isn't a my family thinks I'm crazy type story, I don't know what is. I mean, there you go. Your family member was completely unfamiliar with the whole procedure, and that didn't stand in the way of them receiving the healing, which I think, you know, is the real message there, is like we can all receive healing. We just have to be open to it. And I guess being connected to you through family, maybe that was the trust that was needed to, you know, let through. But I think this is maybe more of a question for you, but is it always that easy to work with somebody who doesn't have maybe open mind to this practice? Like, is it possible?
Not always. Someone's consciousness. I feel like God gave me that one, so I'd have a good story. But also, I think this guy was probably just so at the end of his rope and had tried literally everything that he was open to it. You know, like, I'll take anything if it can help me. It just hurts so much. And then speaking of the MFTIC of it all, my dad witnessed this happen, right? And he had for years always poked fun at what I do, not understanding it. And he would like to, you know, I would talk about, I had this great session today. This happened and it helped him in this way. And he would poke fun and say things like, I'm ripping people off. And like, how do I pull off this con and things like that? Because he's also a hospital attending doctor believer.
Right,
but the one thing that a lot of, I'm sure, other people that have dabbled in or do practice some kind of like energetic healing or some kind of spiritual career path, I don't know how else to say it. There's a thing that occurs where, especially in the healing arts, that what you do for somebody else, you're either also doing it for or to yourself, or you have to have gone through and already integrated that lesson for and through yourself. And the example with this story is that I'm helping this guy deal with feeling unsupported by his father, and that was the whole crux of his issue. While my father, who has been unsupportive of me about this stuff, witnesses me do it, and then become supportive of me in it afterwards because I helped a family member that he's really close to.
Right.
So do you see like the fractality of the inner and outer world there? It's like I was doing it for myself as well. Right. I didn't realize that till after the fact, but that's how you know it's kind of like it's the real deal, is when there are these synchronicities of, you know, is it me that I'm working on or is it them that I'm working on? The borders kind of blur sometimes.
Well, and this kind of leads me to something I wanted to bring up with you. And I believe you were discussing this with another friend of both of our shows, the host of the BioCharisma podcast, Christopher Gardner, Topher, otherwise known as. You guys were talking about the biofield and how it, in my terms, what I kind of am going to paraphrase, hopefully this rings a bell for you, but how our personal destinies and the life we're leading are reflected in this biofield. And, you know, all these stories, as you put it, you know, so well, they're the tree ring sort of metaphor or analogy is really good for this, I think. But I like to think that when we make these changes, these positive changes to our subtle energy, that's like the holographic pattern that aligns everything on the physical that's structured around this energy body. And then in turn, we'll start to, you'll start to see that structure in your actual reality. In other words, when you heal yourself, your reality starts to heal. When you work on yourself, your community starts to work on itself. And when you make your life better, the life around you, the people around you, their lives get better, right? And this is kind of, in other words, what you were saying was like, I don't want to be the best so that I can be the best. I want to be the best because I know when I'm at my best, everyone else is also benefiting and potentially reaching their best as well because of the work I'm doing inward.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. You know, it's happened many times where, especially related to family members, because people psychically, energetically are connected up and downstream to parents and children directly, that I've had multiple clients where maybe there's an estrangement from a parent or a child, and we work on the dynamics in their psyche that are holding that rigidly in place. And then they let me know 3, 5, 7 days later, hey, that person that they had me blocked and they reached out to me for the first time in years, right after the session. Things like that do happen. But, you know, when the person comes to the session where what they want to fix is, I want to fix this problem I have with my children or this problem I have with my parent, sometimes that doesn't come about. You know, it really does need to be about self in a way. It needs to be about self. And this this is where I get myself into trouble sometimes, I think, because I see so much of the indoctrination of what I call the Messiah that comes through the religions of the world and has historically, but has become just a part of how people operate, even that aren't religious. I see so much of that programming, like through even ancestral patterning in people's energy fields. And I also see the solutions to it in their energy fields. But then when I talk about what those solutions are, it can sound like straight up to some people satanic or evil. And I'm like, but I'm getting it. You know, it comes back to, I think a good example is, well, I'm not really a Crowley fan, for example. There is a famous quote attributed to Crowley, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." And on the surface level, the exoteric level, that quote sounds like, do whatever you want. Screw everybody else. Do whatever you want. But on the esoteric level, what is being spoken of, I think, you know, whether or not he achieved it, he had his own issues, you know, allegedly and all that. And I don't think anybody is all good or all bad. Whether or not he was actually in line with this, I think he was truly aware of a true mystical secret, which is that, what is it all about, right? It's about, who am I? What do I want? Self-discovery. Who am I really? And that's the question that we're supposed to, maybe not supposed to be, but people like us are asking ourselves our whole lifetime, no matter how many answers or perspectives we attain, we're still asking that question, because the self is the ultimate mystery. It's the heart of all mysteries. And so when we are seeking the true self and what the self really wants, or like you could say it in other words, the, what is my soul here to do? You know, what is my higher self trying to guide me towards? What are all these synchronicities leading me to? right? When we get in line with that higher self and what it wants, there's no difference between the will of the capital S true self and the will of God or the will of the whole cosmos. And that's not to say, you know, I'm not saying you, this is where it gets me into trouble. Are you saying you're God? Are you saying we're gods? Yeah, you're kind of missing the point. And a God and the universe, which to me are the same thing, they want us to have what we're here to want, what we're here to do, if that makes sense. So, you know, the Neverending Story is actually a really good example. Are you familiar with the Neverending Story, the book?
I have obviously seen the movie. I love the movie, and I know it's based on a book, but I haven't read the book. So are you going to tell me that the movie isn't doing the book justice, or there's more that the movie leads?
The movie is great. It's fun. But yeah, the book is an esoteric initiation. The book is one of the most mystical books I've ever read. And there's an aspect to the book that the movie, I never saw the second Neverending Story movie. Maybe it goes there, but the movie, the first one, actually does not cover the whole book. It just takes you to a certain point in the story that felt like a good conclusion for a movie. But after the point where Bastion, you know, calls out the name Moonchild and, you know, rescues the princess or whatever, he becomes sort of like an enlightened being in Fantasia. And long story short, he attains the power to basically manifest whatever he wills or whatever he wishes. He can like change reality with his intention. And he kind of, it's been a while since I read it, but I know the gist of it is what matters, that he, you know, that kind of power is corrupting, right? It's too much power, especially for a little boy. And the consequence of this power is the more that when he wishes for things that his spirit or soul doesn't really want or that aren't right for him, he forgets a little bit of his past and where he came from. He loses his memories. So this is a way to illustrate that the world, life is exactly like that. And if you really reflect and give yourself the space, you'll see it, that you get what you want in life. Even things that on one, you know, one part of yourself feels like you don't want this, why is this happening? If you go through the healing required and face yourself enough to overcome these kind of patterns, you'll see like, oh, this is kind of what I wanted though. You know, I've used this example in recent podcasts, but it's just so kind of wild and perfect. This was a client, right? And it's just one of those crazy examples, but is exactly what I'm talking about. A client had this problem of, after eating a lot of different kinds of foods, you get this extreme, excessive, like digestion bloating, where it was really, really exaggerated. Like seriously exaggerated, to the point where she was telling me, yeah, I have to wear big clothing, way bigger clothing than my frame. And like people sometimes ask me if I'm pregnant, even though I'm too old to be pregnant. I'm like, okay. So we start going through this. And one of the main discoveries we made was that there was a ton of regret and remorse, you could say, over not having more children, and a deep-seated wish and desire to be pregnant and have more children, even though she was past the age, like childbearing age. So this sort of frustration and self-resentment that she felt over not being able to fulfill this desire and still holding on to that desire and then feeling the frustration and dissatisfaction over it, this is the dynamic that happens to correspond energetically to our digestion and to the stomach area or the sacral chakra region that governs sexual organs and the stomach. So she had this secret wish to have more children and be pregnant and felt extremely frustrated that she couldn't. And then her body's responding by making her look pregnant sometimes. You know, it was literally doing exactly what it was doing exactly what she was asking for in the best way it could, ironically. So we sorted that out, and I don't think she's having that problem anymore last time I heard. But that's kind of an example going back to Bastion in the Neverending Story, okay, because I kind of left that off where every time he makes a wish and changes reality in a way that doesn't suit his actual true higher self's will, he forgets a piece of who he is. He loses part of his memory to the point where, like, as the story progresses, he's sort of become somebody else. He doesn't remember our world where he came from, and he loses touch with his true self. And what is trying to be illustrated here is you get what you wish for in life, but be careful what you wish for, because the more that you wish for things that are not really what you want, the further away you distance yourself from who you really are. So keeping that lesson in mind, I think it's really healthy and helpful for people to seek their true desires, both, you could say materially, satisfy things that you want materially. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great avenue towards getting in touch with higher desires, but then also on like a heart level, getting in touch with what you want and being able to say yes to what you want and no to what you don't want with like an assertiveness and aggression is really helpful and healthy to people. And I think there's two things we see a lot in the country over the last decades. Is A, you see a lot of obesity. And this is directly correspondent in the biofield to people's dissatisfaction overall. So when they're stuck energy in the sacral chakra that governs the stomach, it feels like dissatisfaction or regret or frustration or resentment. Those are the type of feelings that correspond to that. And when the stomach has a bunch of undigested energy in it, it has trouble processing and digesting food. And that causes the body to hold on to stuff longer than it should. But then on the other hand, when we have this sort of unfulfilled feeling all the time, it leads people to try to substitute that fulfillment with sugar and food and junk and things like that, or alcohol or drugs, whatever. There's always an issue in that energy center when people have addictions to things, even non-food related addictions, where they just got to keep scratching that itch. And then, going back further, there's an issue usually related to nurture and the mother, because that's where that energy comes through first and foremost in the early life. But you see how we have people that are cut off from what they truly want. They are cut off from their real desire, and they don't follow or fulfill what they really want. They don't even know what sounds good anymore to themselves. That's how disconnected they are from that energy. So, the things that they think sound good are not things that are good for them. And the more that they do it, the more their not self just keeps snowballing on. I mean, literally in the form of their body is like blowing up and they have this obesity thing. And then the other energy center that has a lot to do with our desire, and this is on the higher order of desire, like on an emotional and spiritual level, is the heart. The heart has another kind of yearning connected to it, that the fact that people spend their life, for the most part, in jobs that they hate, doing stuff they don't want to do, day in and day out. Obviously, this is a huge epidemic in the world, right? I think that this relates to why so many people have heart attacks and die of heart-related issues in the world. I think obesity and heart attacks are directly related to how disconnected people are from what they truly want. And they're not even asking that question or going into like, how do I figure out what I want? And I think that those of us on the path of like the synchromystic, this is actually one of the clues to help us know what we want and who we are, is that we develop this radar of being able to see like, oh, there is this bizarre reflection in the form of synchronicity between me taking steps in this direction and things that I'm noticing in the world that seem to mirror it. And those that are disconnected really heavily from their soul or from their true spirit's desires and being led by that, they're like, they don't even know the word synchronicity. You know what I mean? They're experiencing synchronicity too, but it's more like, man, everything always goes wrong. Murphy's Law. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of on a ramble here, but this is where the religions come in, because what the religions have done first and foremost is disconnect people from their sacral energy and tell them it's naughty and make it this like this sin thing, and also indoctrinate them in the self-sacrificing notion of, you know, you clock in, you do stuff you don't want to do, but it's what's best to do is that, you know, go to the fields, peasant. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
All right, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, Gold Main Street. If you like THC and you want the best, highest quality live rosin, look no further than Gold Main Street. I'm telling you, folks, these guys know what they're doing. This is solventless rosin. It is great stuff. I'm telling you, you can really lock in to whatever you're doing, whether it's just relaxing or recreating, hanging out, zoning in on an art project. I would recommend that with the live rosin from Gold Main Street. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout to save. We've got the Above Phone. Above Phone is the only solution if you care about your digital privacy. Go to abovephone.com and use the promo code CRAZY to check out their laptops, tablets, and phones. Promo code CRAZY at checkout. The Hit Kit, the number one way to stay lit. Go and hit up The Hit Kit on Instagram. Just a little love from our friend there, old sponsor. And last but not least, never least, Vibe Med X. If you want Sheila G in your life, look no further than Vibe Med X. They are your Sheila G solution. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout when you go to VIBEMEDX.com and get some Sheila G for yourself today. I'm telling you, folks, this stuff is good. All right, we'll be right back to this show after a quick break to some more ads. If you want every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free and interruption-free, go to patreon.com/MFTIC or myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack.com. My family thinks I'm crazy. Family, let me tell you about my favorite, my personal favorite cannabis, Mood, M-O-O-D, created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small pesticide-free American farms. Listen, folks, this is the good stuff made in America. Their gummies are action-packed, okay? I've had all the gummies. None of them are the same. The Sleep Time gummies mixed with my Raw Optics red lenses, I'm in bed in 10 minutes. No hangover, no grogginess. I wake up like that. Whew. Jumping out of my bed, standing up straight, and taking on my day. It's incredible. Try it out today. Use the promo code CRAZY and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code CRAZY. Let's go, folks. Let's do it. All right. My family thinks I'm crazy. I'm in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy mood. Alright, folks, this ad is for the men in the audience 30 and up, so skip ahead if that's not you. Alright, guys, listen, don't be ashamed if you can't keep it up in bed. Maybe you're smoking too much pot or drinking too much liquor. If that's not holding you back, there might be another issue. It could be something that you're being prescribed and it's causing dysfunctional erections. Well, that's no good. We don't want you suffering from that. Hims is here to help. Their over-the-counter product might be the stealthy solution to your cock confusion. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments, all from the comfort and privacy of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, proven treatments like Viagra and Cialis, or their generics for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. You don't have to visit a doctor. Just answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments online and start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Check out Hims and use my code CRAZY for a great deal. www.hims.com. Folks, it's that time of year. You're thinking about your loved ones. You're thinking about showing up to that holiday party with the right gift. And that can be harder and harder and harder with everybody's algorithms serving them something different. So Uncommon Goods is here. They've got gifts by genre. I'm talking anything you can imagine. You got sports people in your family, any sport from recreation to professional sports. We're talking wellness products from sleep and relaxation to self-care, CBD, fitness and recreation. They've got history gifts, technology gifts, science gifts, engineering and math gifts, geography gifts for the teenagers and the young at heart. Games and puzzles. There's stuff for animal lovers and people who get crazy in the kitchen, whether it's with food or cocktails. Seriously, folks, Uncommon Goods. You can go crazy at Uncommon Goods and use the promo code CRAZY. Go to uncommongoods.com/crazy. Get something cool. Tell me about it. Mystic Mark, seal of approval. I love it. uncommongoods.com/crazy. Oh, absolutely. And it's such a taboo topic that even to this day, depending on what cultural values you have or what, you know, cultural circumstances you grow up in, you can be on any degree of extreme of, I would say, sexuality. And not that, you know, any of it is bad so long as you're not harming others by, you know, exploring your sexuality. I don't think there's really any, you know, bad things you can do in that sense, but it does, I wonder what its effect on our overall collective consciousness is, that many people either abuse their sexual energies or maybe they misuse them, or maybe they don't use them at all because they've been raised in such a restricted, limited cultural viewpoint about sex that, you know, they only regard it as something in a marital, you know, procreative setting, which again, maybe that's the case. But I found just leaving pornography and masturbation behind and not having that a part of my, you know, daily, weekly, or even monthly routine has made me a more complete person and a lot healthier.
A more satisfied individual.
Yeah. And it just really happened naturally over a course of a number of different events, but it corresponded with me being single for the first time in a while. And even that, like noticing how things were going with different new partners and potential romantic partners, like this was not the same when I wasn't, let's say, curating or taking better care of my sexual energy. So yeah, to get into that topic, which may be uncomfortable for some, but I don't think you and I are uncomfortable talking about. And it kind of relates to another, to bring up another guest we've both interviewed. You know Peter Shampoo and his work really well. So Peter has this chakra ley line that just so happens to go through not only where I grew up, but where I live now. And I happen to be on the sacral chakra point in this ley line where I currently live. And I hate to, be so self-indulgent and make this one part of the conversation about me, but I really do feel like there has been a residual effect, and the sacral energy, the creative energy, has enhanced what I'm doing with my podcasts, with other opportunities I have for work and in my personal life. So I guess to expand this beyond just commenting on what's going on in my life, like, what do you typically recommend to people who are having blockages in that area when it comes to that side of our subtle energy fields? Because I imagine that could be
such a good question, man.
Yeah, potent area there.
That is a really potent area. And what you just described is actually one of the main components of the mystery traditions before religion was institutionalized in the ways that it is now, which was the practice of sublimating the sexual energy, as in converting it, in a way. Like, you're that energy that used to go towards those other things, pornography and masturbation in the modern age, where it has been able to be channeled towards a highly productive life in your creative pursuits, in chasing the dream that you want, right? I mean, you, like I said before we got on the recording, you're like one of the most hustlers out there that I know. You really get it done. Yeah. You're involved in so many cool projects, and I admire that about you. Now, the secret, I think, that you've caught on to with realizing how that affected your experience with romantic partners is that, and this is where it's going to be useful to people that are maybe wondering the same thing, is that you've actually achieved, or maybe you've achieved it, you tell me, but you've achieved what sometimes I have to coach people about, which is, like, let me start from the beginning. There's a thing that goes on in the modern age. I think the internet calls it simping, where guys have a tendency to kind of like throw themselves into servitude of the woman that they're pursuing. And the reason for this, from what I can tell, is that, and looking at many people's energy fields and personal experience, is that men tend to be most aroused, sexually speaking, when they feel that the woman wants them. Like, men want to feel wanted by the woman, in a way, right? I think that gets men in a lot of trouble, because they tend, like, especially when we're young, we tend to just go with the first girl that likes us. like, my mom told me when I was younger, and it didn't really hit, and I didn't understand it till later. She's like, you pick them. Don't let them pick you. You pick the girl you want. And when I finally achieved that, then that was my current wife. It took me a long time. And we have a child together, and it's beautiful. Like, that's the full expression of the sexual creative energy and its ultimate culmination, right? So the lesson here is that don't be the guy that waits for the girl who likes you and then does whatever you can to make her keep liking you or like wanting you. First of all, be aware of that behavior in yourself, the self-sacrificing, subservient behavior to try to get the brownie points or whatever from the female, because that's actually a turnoff. It might work for like a short time, but it becomes a turnoff to the woman pretty quickly. Now, when you're sublimating the sexual energy, what that looks like is, you're, instead of focusing on getting a mate or focusing on serving the woman that you're with to try to make her like you, or doing, being who you think she needs you to be so that she will be attracted to you, you put your focus and attention and effort on what I want to create in the world, what's important to me as the man. And it turns out that that is really attractive to women when you are really focused on your path and your personal goals and your work and your projects and, your creative contribution to this world. That is like a magnet to females, that then you will experience that they are very attracted to you. yet you're not putting really any attention or focus or emphasis on trying to attract them to you, right? So let me bring this back to the context of pornography, right? Pornography is kind of a crazy modern aberration because it's like instant access to the divine feminine in a way and to the sexual energy of the divine feminine. Instant, or it feels like it's instant access. It's actually instant disconnect in a way because it is the sort of farthest end game expression or culmination of the simp behavior that I was describing. Because now you're putting all your attention on getting the sexual energy and attention from women, but they're not even real women, right? They're pixels on screens and stuff,
right?
And that really separates you from the sexual energy of your partners or potential partners, and to the point where, you know, you get disconnected from your own sacral energy as well. It's like it affects everybody. So I think the ultimate clue here for me was that behavior earlier in life. Especially pornography, I had this like sense as I was awakening energetically, I had this sense of like, this is going to kill me. This is killing me. And I thought it was kind of an extreme feeling, but that's what made me stop, is I got this strong impression that this is literally killing me. And now that I understand things at a higher level through my later experience with energy work, I'm like, yeah, that is killing you. That's totally killing you, sterilizing you in a lot of ways. So there's, I think, a good example of your life to hold up, man, that you put that away, put that aside, focused on your hustle and what you want to create in the world. And I think you've probably noticed that, you know, you have more agency in choosing what partner who you want to be with, right? Without having to feel like you're on a chase so much.
Right, right. And it is, it is different. It's much different. And when I wasn't at this point, this topic would have been very uncomfortable for me to listen to or talk about. And I respect anybody who's like, this isn't for me. But I think if you are having that reaction, you might want to really go deeper and think about why. And that's not going to happen, you know, in the next 2 hours of listening to this podcast. This might take months or years, but I had been thinking about making that change for quite a while before I actually committed to it. It was just like certain events in my life, like my grandmother passing away, that really just kind of like gave me deeper avenue of reflection than I was giving myself previously, you know, kind of having the thought, but then never acting on it, you know. And I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm Mystic Mark the Manifester. I mean, I told you a little bit about my new van. Like, ever since this change occurred, a lot of the other things in my life have sped up. So again, it's your own personal choice, to those listening who might be uncomfortable with this topic. But I think as far as our energy field goes, particularly obviously with men, this is a big expenditure of energy throughout your day or week or month, depending on how big of a...
It's huge.
Yeah.
And get this too, you know, going back to the never ending story example, pornography is like wish fulfillment, you know, like people can think of any crazy thing they want to see. I wish that this would happen in front of me. Right. And then boom, there it is. And then like the further that you go down that path, this is the cycle, like the psychology of pornography is you need the next thing that's weirder or the next thing that's harder or the next thing that's more extreme. And you get further and further away from just the natural energy of, or the natural experience of what human sexuality in a non-aberrant setting would be like. And then normal human sexuality doesn't even do it for you in real life after that point.
Yeah.
So when we think about it in those terms, it's exactly like Bastion in the Neverending Story, where he keeps wishing for things that are not his true self and then losing himself more and more. And so that's just, if there's any reason to put it aside, hopefully, I know it is tough for people because there's an attachment, there's guilt, especially if you admit to yourself, like, this has been wrong that I've been doing this, or this has been bad for me. There's the shame element. It's something that is done secretly, right? And all of the guilt and shame are the other side of the sacral chakra when there's stuck energy there. So understanding that, back to the sublimation and how important desire is for our life. We're talking about stuck energy in the sacral region that governs the sexual organs, being guilt and shame on the left, and frustration and resentment and dissatisfaction on the left, and like guilt and shame on the right. If we go into the back side of that, the back, like the physical back of the body in the sacral region, we're talking about flow state on the left, literally the flow of fluids in the body and our connection to effortless effort and the feeling of a creative flow state, or just flow state in life where we're doing things without overthinking them and it's all coming together. Synchronicity is a big part of flow state in a way. Stuff just working out without you even necessarily worrying about how it works out. And then on the right side, it's our relationship to, in the back, it's a relationship to pleasure and pain. And so when we are disconnected from desire, or we're desiring things, we're chasing desires that are not our true desire, it makes a huge impact on our flow state capability as well. But flow I'm talking about is not just the flow of work, but it's the flow of everything that is going on in your life. It's the flow of, you know, if we're talking about sacral energy in a healthy expression being fulfillment and satisfaction, one of the ways that we access fulfillment is through being paid. You know, self-worth is the other keyword of a positive, healthy sacral chakra. And when we have self-worth, we ask for what we need, or we take the job that pays us well enough, or we feel satisfied with how we're compensated. So I'm saying all this to illustrate that healthy sacral energy has everything to do with the word that people say all the time in spiritual new agey circles, abundance, abundance. You know, abundance is not about thinking the right thoughts and wishing hard enough, you know, and never thinking anything bad and imagining the car you want every day until suddenly it somehow manifests. Abundance is directly connected to the healthy integration and flow of this desire and fulfillment energy in the sacral chakra. And I say all the time, desire is the current in the river of abundance. So when we're chasing, pornography is such a good example, because as you know, I think any man out there, and probably women too, can attest to from their own experience, it's like when the more time you're spending on that, the less productive you are. And the less money you potentially make, or like you do poorly, it holds like this energy in your psyche in a way where a part of you is still connected to it even when you're not doing it. And it's like a distraction and a detachment, or in a way you could describe it like traction. You like lose traction in your path and in your pursuits. So understanding that as the perfect example, the further you go into pornography, the further away you get from the full fulfillment of abundance in your life.
Yeah.
Or like your maximum earning potential, if you want to put it in a more simple terms. So right. it's a really, actually, even though it's an extreme thing that's going on in our world today, I think it's also the culmination of big, long-term, centuries-long lessons of ancestors up to now who have experienced major desire and sexual energy repression and self-repressed it over the way that religion had indoctrinated them to do so.
Yeah.
All the way up, and just being afraid of that energy, because it's, I think, ultimately, like in terms of the human collective, why things have gone this way is, it's the Spider-Man thing. With great power comes great responsibility. When you realize that you literally have the power to experience everything that you wish in this world, and that everything that happens is a reflection of what you have said that you wanted in some way or another, it's a lot to take in. You know, it's a big responsibility. And some for some people and for a lot of our ancestors and people still alive today, it's easier to just pretend like I don't have that power and to channel that or to give that power away to other things that we feel like can be in control for us or do control us or hold us back.
Yeah, we'll
stop there. I'm sure you got some responses to that.
No, I agree with what your sentiment is. And I think, yeah, there's a sort of reverberation from that repression. And to a certain extent, that is healthy. And that is a growth, you know, a moment of growth as a collective. But there's also then the freedom that provides for maybe the extremes. And I don't know the drawbacks. I'm not a woman. I don't have a woman's experience. So I don't know what the drawbacks would be. From women I know, they seem to, you know, enjoy pornography with little drawbacks. But I imagine there are some they just don't wouldn't want to admit to someone that they're seeing or, you know, talking to in that way. Potentially, I don't know. I'm also not investigating too deeply other people's habits and behaviors, but
I'm just not a woman, so I don't know. It's different.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure it's different, but there must be drawbacks. And I'm not against, you know, being open with your sexuality. I think repression is inevitably a bad thing and probably leads to more trauma. But either way, again, not to, you know, say that all porn is bad. I think it's just one of those vices that's very easy to abuse, and that abuse for men can lead to some pretty serious consequences in ways that you just wouldn't, yeah, you wouldn't expect these things to have consequences on your life at large. But when you start to draw that in, that energy in, again, I feel like the manifestations that I've, you know, seen, the abundance that I've partaken in just the past few months, and not just in the in terms of, like, you know, romance or anything like that. I mean, like, just in life in general, it's been profound. So for me to convey that to another man listening, and hopefully it helps them down the line, that's a good thing. You know, what women are going to do with this information, I don't know, maybe it'll help them sort out a better partner, you know, find, you know, these qualities in their future man. But I'll say, for any guys who do need any talking into, women love to find out most times that you're not interested in pornography. Most women. Others are a little suspicious, and that's an interesting conversation to have. But either way, we'll leave that point there. But it is overall, I think, one of the most, as far as chakras are concerned, one of the most important to have a handle on, you know, because that's a way that your life can really get out of hand quickly, whether it's, you know, an unplanned pregnancy or, you know, STD or just an obsession that leads to an addiction. You know, I mean, these are all dire positions to be in potentially. So it is serious stuff.
You know, the whole, have you done many episodes with anybody, you know, with terrain theory and disputing germ theory as an ideology?
Yeah, we've covered it in the past.
Who have you had on about that?
The Alpha Vedic guys spoke with me about it, you know.
They're good.
Yeah, Dr. Bearland, Dr. Bear.
Dr. Lando.
Dr. Lando, thank you.
Old Mike Winner.
Bear is such an interesting first name that sometimes it registers as a last name for me. So yeah, Dr. Bear Lando.
Dr. Bear.
And Mike Winner have talked to me about that on the show. And I think Dr. Wakefield as well talked about that with us. But yeah, two doctors have come on the show to talk about that.
I recommend checking out Dr. Marizelle Arce. She is good. She just wrote a book called Germs Are Not Our Enemy. She's super good. There's also another guy, Jacob Diaz, who he's like newer to the game, you could say, but also he went at a super fast pace and he's got a ton of knowledge about it. And for me, I bring that up because you mentioned STDs. It's not to hit you with a, no, you're wrong. But in my experience with energy fields, STDs are absolutely manifestations of something other than a germ or a virus. Yeah. And honestly, the idea of germ theory itself is so unproven. There's literally never been any isolated and purified sample of something called a virus that was then was taken from a sick person and then given to another person, and it caused the same symptoms. You know, going back to the etymology, virus comes from a word in Greek that means poison or toxin. And what goes on in the virology labs where they're researching this stuff is they create weird, unnatural concoctions and combinations of chemicals and diseased or like deteriorated body fluids, inject that nasty crap into another creature like a lab rat, and the thing gets sick, and they're like, see, look, we found a virus. But it's totally mad science that goes on there. And especially when it comes to the bacterial side of stuff, are you familiar with pleomorphism as a concept?
No, not off the top of my head, but I have heard of
this. This is the game changer, man, because this is something that people with lab, like with microscopes, can find and witness for themselves. Dr. Mirazel has some good stories about when she discovered this in her school years in college, but the bacteria in your body, and in fact, all bacteria, has the ability to change into any other bacteria. So what happens is there are smaller particles in the blood that researchers like Dr. Arce think that our body actually generates and creates itself. And you could call them precursors, you could call them microzyma. They've been discovered by many scientists over the decades and given different names because they're not really part of the mainstream teaching in germ theory and allopathy. So they don't get sort of universal name, but you know, modern researchers in terrain theory call them microzyma or just precursor particles in the blood. And these things can transform and grow and become different bacteria in someone's biome, in their body. And when the body needs a certain kind of bacteria to clean up a particular imbalance going on in the system, like there's too much of a particular nutrient or toxin that needs to be addressed, it will produce the bacteria needed to address that issue. So like when you see an abundance of streptococcus or however you say that in someone's throat, it's not because that came from the outside and got into their throat and set up a colony and started, you know, tearing stuff up. It's because there was some kind of toxin that they were breathing in potentially or somehow hitting that part of their body, the vulnerable part of their body, the throat and the airway. And so this bacteria shows up to eat that essentially and correct the imbalance. And when I learned about this, it blew my mind because I'd already been experiencing it with clients and even in myself having been tuned by other people where I like had this directly happen to me where after a tuning, I had a biome shift in myself. Like, you know, to be raw about it, it's like you have some looser and different poop for a while. Your digestion changes a little bit for a couple days. Literally, your body's it's like flushing new things out because now it's got a different biome balance and it's processing internal toxins different. You experience difference in food craving and food aversion that is for the better. Like you don't want stuff anymore that you wanted before. And then on the other side of it, you have a different biome balance to the point where I've had clients that have even had this tested and measured in themselves where after, like one of my regulars, she had, I think they call it Giardia was the name of the bacteria. And she had said she'd had a overabundance of Giardia in her gut for like 10 years. And she's had a naturopathic doctor that would do these kind of diagnostic tests on her. And after one tuning where we worked on the issue that pertained to that and cleared it energetically, she had that Giardia totally back to normal levels where it was no longer out of balance. So where did it go? Because she wasn't taking probiotics. She wasn't taking antibiotics. It just changed. And so when you understand pleomorphism, and this is seen in microscopes, it's been observed that the bacteria come from these precursor or microzyma particles, become a bacteria that the body needs. And then when the body doesn't need that anymore, revert back to being microzyma. Well, How does contagion and pathogen on a bacterial level make sense? How, why would you assume that that's a thing, that like one, because this is a business model, right? One microbe equals one disease. That's the model they sell you. And like, we've got the pill for that, you know, and there's, each one's trademarked, right? But each of these microbes become the precursor again, and then can become a different microbe. So how is there a pathogen going on if the thing that was supposedly causing the problem could actually at any time just become something more neutral? So maybe it's not causing the problem. You know, it's the metaphor they use all the time is, if you see, every time you see a fire, you see firefighters around it, does that mean the firefighters are causing the fire? And yeah, that is the exact, you know, logic problem that is being applied to microbes, or even what they call viruses, which are a different kind of particle altogether. And in fact, might even be the microzyma or related to them themselves. So yeah, I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but I bring it up because this is, has everything to do back with sacral energy being a topic we've discussed. The other aspect of sacral energy being the stomach and the digestion, because your biome is a reflection of your diet and also part of what gives you the different desires you want for various foods. Like attuning, this is embarrassing for me, but I had a problem my whole life of midnight snacking. Like from as long as I had the agency to get my own food whenever I wanted, you know, about the age of a teenager, I would eat before bed, or I would wake up in the middle of the night and get food. And as that progressed, you know, it became less and less viable as you get older and your metabolism slows down and changes. And the things I would crave in the middle of the night were not usually things you should eat in the amounts I was eating or at all. And, you know, especially not in the middle of the night, it was really impacting my sleep and my energy levels to the, like, it was such a severe issue that when I finally decided to do something about it, it was like, I could not go to sleep unless I ate. I would just lay there and be unable to fall asleep and intensely hungry. And then I would, if I did manage to fall asleep, I'd wake up in an hour or two and have to go eat something, or I couldn't fall back asleep. So it was really wrecking things for me. And I got attuning with my friend Kyle, who's also an herbalist. He's, by the way, we need to talk about him because he's really interesting and would make a great guest for you. He's a herbalist who I've helped learn tuning, and then he's helped me learn herbalism, which has been a great, you know, dichotomy. And he's also into all kinds of like mythological and linguistic gravy and can apply it to plants, which is super cool. Kyle Denton. I'll give you his contact info. He's a really good guest. Anyway, he did a tuning for me, and it dealt with, you know, imbalance in just a yin and yang sense, where when the yang energy was supposed to go more dormant and let the yin energy run the dishwasher metaphorically at nighttime, the masculine energy side of myself was like taking over and dominating and not letting the yin clean the container, so to speak. And there's more to it than that. It had to do with certain like family issues and things in my memory field, but we cleared that out. And in just one session, the absolute uncontrollable need to eat food late at night was gone. And I can only attribute that to also having something to do with a gut biome shift, because we know that the gut biome relates to your food cravings and food aversions, right? It absolutely does, because people can use probiotics, or like, you know, they have biome changes whenever they change their diet. So it's like they call it the gut brain. There's literally neurons in your stomach as well. So I had this one session, and the need, uncontrollable need, thinking with my stomach was gone. And I have not eaten after dinner time once since then. But this was a whole lifetime issue for me. I kept doing it my whole life, never dealt with it. It's gone in one session, and my sleep is so much better. And like, you know, I've trimmed down a little bit. The dad bod's a bit under control. So I just bring that up because I know for sure that pleomorphism is real. And also through clients that have even had it measured in their, by naturopathic doctors, that their biome shifts. And so I bring this up just because if there was one nail in the coffin of germ theory, it's pleomorphism. Mm. And it's something that they even will accept does exist. Bacteria do change forms. but they don't know what to do with it and they kind of put it off to the side and don't talk about it. So I recommend some of those people, especially Dr. Marzal, Jacob Diaz, Kyle Denton.
This meshes better or fits into the holistic model of energy healing. I'd say, you know, you sort of insinuated to pleomorphism earlier when you were talking about releasing blockages, right? Because when our body's energy field is not, let's say, stagnant and it's flowing like a river rather than, you know, brewing like a murky puddle, right? It's flowing like a river. Our body is able to address those environmental agents that we're interacting with on a daily basis. And these microbes are performing the various roles that our body needs them to perform based on whatever toxins or environmental hazards we're engaging with, which obviously differs depending on what environment you live in. But this approach to healing is not compatible with our current economic model. And that is why people are bought and sold. Their health is bought and sold by these big hospitals. And your point earlier about, you know, they're hospital people and they believe in doctors. Like, I love that.
Hospital attending doctor believers. God love
yes,
them.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's unfortunately, many of the people in my family are that way. And I wish that, you know, there's some path for them to heal in a different modality, but that's their choice to make in many ways. And if I do everything I'm doing well enough, it'll have a residual effect on my family and I won't have to intervene. I think that's kind of the real, community-oriented philosophy that I'd like to foster on this show around conversations like the biofield. Like, this is not just about healing yourself. When you heal yourself, your reality around you heals, and those folks around you have the inspiration and potentially the new opportunity to then embark on their own healing journey. But yeah, Chance, there's endless amounts of things we can talk about and very few that we've covered from our list, which is always a good sign when we only talk about a few things, because it means there's much more to talk about in the future.
We'll do it more often.
I think we should, man. It's you know, many different factors to blame, but now that we're both in a place where we can put quality over quantity, as we said before we started recording, maybe we should set our sights on doing this again next month. And if all goes well, we'll do it again the following month. Because it's great to talk to you, Chance. And
and some of the other topics that might have been on your list, I feel would do better if you're like, this is the topic
standalone
and give me some prep time. Because this stuff I can talk about off the cuff because it's literally, right, you know, I live and breathe it with people every day, but especially in the philology, etymology, mythology, comparative religious studies, flamenco topics, you know, false history, things like that. It's easy to talk out your ass about that stuff and get details wrong, because the devil is in the details with those things. And when you give me a little time to have some notes in front of me or refresh myself, I can give specific details, because that's what is really necessary to make those kind of cases in those subject matters. So I'd love to do this more often and not wait quite so long. And I definitely had fun. And thanks again, man.
No, absolutely. The opportunity is there. And I think between now and our next conversation, you will have me in one of your bio tuning sessions, because I feel called to it. And it's funny because I don't know how much reflexology relates, but to bring back up the topic briefly that we were on before about, you know, this sexual wellness, I had a strange synchronicity around that. So all of this is going on in the background of my life, and then I'm hanging out with a really close friend, we'll say, and her and I are in my apartment, and I carelessly had a sewing needle in the carpet of my apartment floor, and I stepped on it and it went into my foot, and oh, it was painful. Anytime I put my foot down, it was painful. It didn't really hurt. The ordeal afterwards, you know, in hindsight, it wasn't that bad, and the ER room doctors had a fun time trying to get it out of my foot. But when I looked at the reflexology chart where the needle had placed, it hit me right in the area that corresponds to your sexual organs. So I thought that was kind of ironic given the endeavor I embarked on, you know, or this sort of discipline I've fostered in myself where I'm, you know, abstinent to some extent from that side of my, you know, sexual life. And then this needle thing happened. So I definitely need a bio 2D. I want to see what.
Was it like acupuncture? Did it help?
I think so. I don't know. I feel like that.
Did you look up the foot reflexology right away when that happened? Or did you wait?
It was within the day. Yeah. I think that was kind of like, yeah, it was one of the thoughts that occurred to me within the next day of like, well, I should check and see where that needle puncture.
That's really smart, man. That's really smart. I'm proud of you for that. That's really cool. Cause that's exactly what injuries are for. Mm. They're little wake up calls like, hey, notice this. And the feet are interesting because they're a little microcosm of the whole body.
Right.
The only issue with that is it's hard for me to figure out what's the real reflexology chart of the foot. Cause I've seen different charts with different correspondences. So I'm not entirely sure.
Well, for accuracy's sake, it was on the upper ball of my heel. So the part of the ball of my heel that's closest to the rest of my foot and not the back of my heel. So interior ball of my heel.
Okay. Yeah. I see how in a lot of these charts, they say that relates to the pelvis.
Right.
Potentially. Right.
So, and there was like maybe like the liver or something close by, and or rather that was in a larger section itself. Like it was a smaller circle within a larger circle. So there might be more to say about it, but I'm curious what a biofield session with you would, you know, information I would gain from that. And I definitely want to book that between now and our next conversation. So folks who
I mention something else real quick too, just because you brought up the reflexology of the foot and that's so useful there. If people want to try this out for themselves, work on themselves, there's a tool sold by Eileen McCusick on the Biofield Tuning Store called the Sonic Slider that is a weighted tuning fork. And so a weighted tuning fork has weights on the tines. And when you hit it, it's not very loud, but you can actually place the bottom, like the handle, as the fork is vibrating somewhere on the body and directly transfer the vibration to your physical body. So it's different than working with just sound around the body. But the internal parts of the body, like the lungs and kidneys and different organs, it's kind of hard to hit those with vibration directly. And what I found is that if you do the bottom of your foot and you put this vibration of this weighted tuning fork on the spot that corresponds to a certain organ, it will actually stimulate and send energy to that organ. And I think like what made me sure that it worked was putting it on the lungs point on the feet and vibrating that and being like, wow, I immediately can breathe a deeper, fuller breath with more opening in my lungs. You know, as somebody that might smoke a joint or two, right? I think that you could probably enjoy that. I broke up with cannabis, you know. It was a loving parting, but being a father, it just stopped appealing to me. I'm like high on baby vibes all the time. But you know, I did smoke weed for a huge chunk of my life, and I still have some repair to do on my lungs, probably from I smoked cigarettes at points in my life too. So anyway, it's like it's really noticeable for me to put that weighted fork on that spot on my foot. But that's something people can try for themselves if they know they have like their kidneys are challenged or whatever. Reflexology of the foot, weighted tuning fork, stimulate that area. It's something that anyone can do for themselves. No knowledge required.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad I brought that up because you're absolutely right. That is an access point to parts of the body that wouldn't be so obvious or easily treated through sound. Yeah. The foot is incredible. And we're, you know, stomping around all day. So that's the other side of it too, is like, be mindful of how you step, because each foot's, you know, every step of your foot, you're potentially slamming one of your organs, like, you know, with some rough energy. So be kind to yourself and tread lightly. That's what I say.
Yeah, and tells you why grounding and getting bare feet on the earth has such an effect too, because it's literally stimulating organs with grounding energy as well. So I think we're wrapping up, but if people go to my website, interversepodcast.com, they can find all the links to places to check out my shows, so many other things that I like to talk about. Like we said at the beginning, very timeless things. Really into making music right now. We didn't talk about that, but the AI tools are crazy. And love it or hate it, AI is a thing. And I think that the music I make with AI is a lot better than most stuff that you hear that's AI generated. I put tons of intention into it. I make some pretty crazy stuff you can actually catch on Spotify. If you go to my name on Spotify, Chance Garten, I have released tracks up there. And these songs are intro songs to podcasts I've made this year. The process with that, I'm not just putting, putting a prompt into a music generator. I am making lots of versions of a prompt and,
I've
getting the
heard
lyrics just how I
you.
want them. I'm drawing stems out of the AI. So I'm basically getting it to create my instrumentation, and I'm throwing that into music interface and mixing the instruments the way I want it. So it's actually just like electronic music production traditionally
Right.
has
What you
been, but I'm
do
just using
is,
AI to get the sounds, and I'm making some
yeah.
pretty interesting stuff there.
Yeah, what you're doing is not run-of-the-mill AI generating. You are taking it and using it as a tool, as what sounds like an actual music producer. Because some of the stuff I've heard, just listening to a few things here and there, I'm impressed. I mean, I could tell it's AI because I know you're using AI, but if I didn't know that ahead of time, you might have a way that you could convince me it wasn't AI. So yeah, you're doing great work there. And just to give people all the links, where do people go to book you for a session? Is that also through interverse.com?
Yeah, it's interversepodcast.com, and then
Interverse.
on the website there's a page at the like links at the top that says get tuned, or the URL is interversepodcast.com/sound-healing.
Okay.
And I think if people are at all curious about this, go to that page, even if you're not going to sign up for a session, because I have put a lot of free resources on that page where people can learn about the biofield in a pretty deep way. I literally know somebody that figured out how to do tuning from the resources I've put up here, and they now do it. So, someday I might make more courses or something about it. But
Good.
at this point, you can at least get started and learn enough to translate some of the messages from your own body or people that you care about through the, like, they're basically slides that are on this page. There's videos on this page. So, if you're curious, go there. I don't just want to tune people. I want humanity to reclaim the birthright of knowing the language their body speaks, because I think that's the most world-changing thing that I can imagine. And I want to be a part of bringing that shift into reality.
Right on. Well, sick. Thank you, Chance, for joining me. And we will absolutely have another conversation very soon, hopefully before the end of the year. But you are a new father, so I know holidays and such are going to be a whole new experience. So, and probably a lot of effort and time taken. But either way, we'll find a time to
Yeah,
make
let's do
it
it next
work.
month. It's on. We'll do
Awesome.
it.
Awesome. So with that, Chance, thanks again for joining me, and we'll catch everybody on the next episode. Until then, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our conversation with Chance Garten. Chance, big shout out to him for joining me on the show again for the fourth time. He's been on the show three previous times, I believe, three. At least that's what my archive here says. So yeah, we'll go with that. It doesn't feel like I've had him on that many times. I should have him on more often. He's got a lot to say. What can I say? Interverse and My Family Thinks I'm Crazy are very similar shows. So Chance is a great guy, and if you like my show, you'll like him. If you like him, you'll like his show. All right. And that's really all I have to say. I don't know if anybody's interested in what I've been up to, but you should be because you're listening to my podcast. I got a van now. Life's been good. Went to my first market in Rhode Island. Shout out to the Anti-Robot Club. We sold one My Family Thinks I'm Crazy t-shirt, which was awesome. But I have some new merch available on the way. The old merch, I finally have the supplies to print. So if you did order a t-shirt and you're waiting, I will have those to you very soon. But moving forward, I'm not going to sell any shirts until they're already printed and ready. This has been a whole fiasco, and I really feel bad for anyone who paid for a shirt in September and hasn't got one yet. So that's my fault. That's on me. Life has been crazy. But moving forward, any merch that I have available in the store will be printed and in stock, because I am not organized enough to keep up with that. So anyways, let's wrap it up here, and I'll tell you what, we've got a great episode on the way. It's an almost 3-hour episode, and it's with a guest that hasn't been on any podcast before, so it's going to be a good one. Until that episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.